Bakshit found his master in the workshop at the harbour and whispered his report. Ryder looked up from the Ibis's main steamline, which he and Jock McCrump were welding. "Her sisters?" Ryder demanded. "Miss Saffron and Miss Rebecca?" Bakshit shook his head. "Only Miss Amber." This was not a conversation that Ryder wanted to share with Jock McCrump and the Ibis's stokers and oilers. He jerked his head towards the door, and Bakshit followed him out. They were halfway back to the compound before Ryder broke the silence. "What happened, Bakshit?" Bakshit looked innocently uncomprehending, but Ryder was certain that he had shared Nazira's mattress last night and knew every detail of what had transpired during the past 24 hours in the ladies' quarters of Her Britannic Majesty's Consular Palace. "Tell me what you know," he insisted.
"I am a simple man," said Bakshit. "I know horses and camels, the cataracts and the currents of the Nile. But what do I know of a woman's heart?"
He shook his head.
"Perhaps you should inquire of these mysteries from one much wiser than I."
"Send Nazira to me." Ryder stifled a smile. "I shall wait for her at the monkey cages." Nazira approved of Ryder Courtney. Of course, he had the parboiled look of most Ferengi, and his eyes were a disconcerting and unnatural shade of green, but a man's looks and age counted for little if he was a good provider. This one's wives would never starve. He was a man strong in body and resolve, and he would protect his own. Yet there was a gentleness in him. He would never beat his women, unless their behaviour truly invited it. Yes, she approved of him. It was to be regretted that so far Al-Yamal had not displayed equal good sense. She came to the animal compound and whispered to old Ali that he should stay within call but out of earshot. She might be a widow and almost 40 years of age, but she was a devout, respectable woman. She had convinced herself that she was the only one who knew of her discreet friendships with Yakub and Bakshit. She greeted Ryder, asked the blessings of the Prophet for him, touched her heart and lips, then squatted at a polite distance from him. She drew her shawl over the lower part of her face and waited for him to speak. Ryder asked after her health, and she assured him that she was well. Then he asked after the health of her charges.
"Al-Yamal is well?"
"I am happy to hear that. I was worried about her. She has not come to help the women today." Nazira inclined her head slightly, but made no comment.
"Nazira, is she angry with me?" he asked.
She drew a sharp breath of disapproval. The question lacked even a semblance of subtlety. She should not dignify it with a reply. However, this time she would make allowances for him. After all, he was an infidel. "Al-Jamal feels that you took advantage of her trust. She was in need of comfort and counsel, so she came to you as a friend, but you behaved like a lecher." Bakshit saw Ryder's face crumple with dismay.
"Lecher?" he asked. "She is wrong. I bear her great respect and affection. I am not a lecher."
Nazira was balanced on a knife edge of loyalty. She could not tell him that the real offence was that they had been discovered not only by the twins, but also by the pretty captain. But she liked him enough to give him a light word of comfort.
"I love her like my own daughter, but she is a young girl and understands nothing, not even her own heart. She will change with the moon and the wind and the current, like a dhow without a captain. When she says she wishes never to see someone again, she means at least until midnight, but probably not until noon tomorrow."
Ryder pondered this as he offered a morsel of green cake through the bars of the cage to Lucy, the vervet monkey. She was due to give birth at any moment. She seized his wrist and licked the last crumbs from his fingers.
"What should I do, Nazira?" he asked.
She shook her head.
"Men were such children." "Anything you do now will only make matters worse. Do nothing. I will tell her how much you are suffering. Most young girls like to hear that. When it is time to do so, we will speak again."
Ryder was much cheered,
by this offer of assistance. But what of Saffron? Why has she not come to help Amber?
Filfil feels as strongly about your behaviour as her eldest sister.
Filfil was the Arabic word for pepper, and also Saffron's nickname.
She also has expressed an intention never to speak to you again. She says that she wishes to die.
Ryder looked alarmed again.
A single kiss, and a fairly chaste one at that. Now she wants to die? Long ago she chose you as her future husband. She has even discussed the details with me. I should warn you now that she will never allow you to have more than one wife.
Ryder burst out in incredulous laughter.
What a sweet and funny child she is, but a child nevertheless.
In a few short years she will be of marriageable age. Nazira did not smile.
And she has made her plans.
Ryder laughed again, but this time with a note of trepidation. Nazira, I do not wish to encourage her to believe in the impossible, but nor do I wish to hurt her. Will you give her my message? Will you tell her that there is important work for her to do? I need her here.
I will tell her, Effendi.
Nazira rose to her feet and bowed.
But she will need more encouragement than that to forgive your infidelity. But now I must go to help Alzara.
Amber's Arabic name meant the flower.
We can never make enough of the green cake to feed so many hungry mouths.
After she had gone, Ryder lingered a few minutes longer at the monkey cage, pondering his predicaments. Lucy perched at the bars, belly bulging between her knees, and offered her head to his caress. She loved to be scratched behind the ears, and to have her fur searched for vermin. At last Ryder sighed and made to leave the cage. Lucy seized his hand as he tried to pull it out through the bars, and sank her sharp white fangs into his thumb.
"You creature, you!"
He cuffed her lightly. She shrieked, as though in mortal anguish, and shot to the top of the cage, where she gibbered at him furiously.
"A plague on you and all female wiles," he scolded, and sucked his thumb as he left the enclosure to go down to the harbour.
Today, Jock McCrump hoped to complete the repairs to the Howland engine, and he was planning to take the Ibis out on her trials.